Blog Talk Radio.
Every day, Lord, this is my prayer. This is my passion towards you. And of all that you've done and all that you're going to do, I can't thank you enough for your goodness and your mercy and for all of what you've done in my life. But above all else, body is wrecked with pain. So many times we're in a hurry to get out of your presence. But sometimes we gotta learn how to wait. Wait, I say again, wait on the Lord. Because it's in the overflow. I don't just want the Lord to flow in my life. I want the overflow. Because that's where he pours his oil. And that's where he shows his oil. In the overflow. Come, we're getting ready to worship him. We're getting ready to go there. We're getting ready to tap that place. Honest to God, who's the head of our life. Excuse me. Welcome to World Gospel Connection, where your host is Pastor Kashima Douglas, and our guest today for Women's Day Thursday is Samantha Liberal, a phenomenal woman of God. So get ready to tune in and hear her word. The scripture for this morning is Galatians 6 and 9. Excuse me. Let us not be weary in doing good. For all their proper time we will reap and harvest if we do not give up. Galatians 6 and 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for all that proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Remember, we definitely want to give a shout-out to all the countries that's listening in. The United States, of course, Canada, Brazil, Ghana, Nigeria, South Africa, Kenya, Jamaica, Germany, Saudi Arabia, China, Hong Kong, Bulgaria, Russia, Zimbabwe, and Mexico. Thank you guys for tuning in. We know that you're not able to praise God openly, so we are here on World Gospel Connection praying and encouraging you guys to continue to push, continue to stand on the Word of God. We know it's not easy, but it's worth it. Remember, all God wants is that one-on-one time with you, just you and Him. You don't have to be perfect. He does not care about what you did last night. He doesn't, nor this morning. Just surrender your life to Him. Praise His name. Worship Him. Just talk to Him, just like I'm talking to you. You don't have to have any titles to talk and worship God. That's what people fail to realize. You don't have to speak in tongues to talk to God. He just wants your heart. That's it. The faith size of a mustard seed, you know how little that is? That's a dot on a piece of paper, literally. Just hold on to that. It's rough, but it will get better. Trust me, it's not easy, but it will get better. Continue to walk by faith and not by sight. Know that the devil already seen your future, and he knows what you're capable of. Don't fold, women of God. Don't fold. Hold on. If you need anybody to talk to and encourage you, continue to listen to us on World Gospel Connection, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10. Or you can email us at worldwidegospelconnection@gmail.com or Worldwide Gospel Connection on Facebook. We mean what we say, iron sharpening to iron. I'm not going to prolong the time. I'm going to bring the woman of God to come on to give the word that God gave her specifically for you. Ms. Samantha, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you for coming on. The floor is yours, and you can go right in.
All right. Thank you so much. I want to say greetings to everyone that is on. Also, greetings to this amazing woman of God for, you know, staying committed to such an amazing move of God to bring everybody here to hear the word of God, to pray, to stay encouraged. It takes a lot to do ministry. It takes a lot to even do the things that we think are simple, and it sounds simple to just dial in, but we have to prepare ourselves and gird ourselves for messages and things of the sort. So I commend you, woman of God, for bringing this together. First and foremost, for those of you that don't know me, my name is Samantha D. Liberal. I am a prophet of God first, but I'm also known as the friendship enthusiast. And my ministry is basically about curating and having better friendships, godly and divine and covenant relationships that are ordained by God. I truly believe that God simply brings people into our lives for specific reasons. We don't meet people by happenstance. We don't just run into people just because we like the way their hair looks, even though God may use their hair to connect you to somebody else. However, that is not the main focus. Usually there's a deeper meaning. I believe God has divine people that he wants to bring into your life to get you somewhere. So today I really wanted to focus on something that God has put on my heart most recently. I didn't understand what God was doing, but he has developed this word throughout the week. I was talking to Sister Kashima about how I just like lost my voice about 4 days ago. I lost my voice and I didn't understand what was going on. Like my voice was just gone. I didn't have any other symptoms of any sort really. I did start to cough towards the end, but I really didn't understand. And I said, God, why can't I speak? I have all these speaking assignments and engagements coming up in the month of May. I couldn't really understand why I had lost my voice. And in that moment, literally I heard the Lord speak and that he wanted for me to hear his voice in a different way. And sometimes we get so caught up in running and talking and ministering and pouring into people, especially as leaders. I mean, maybe a few of you on here, and you don't have to necessarily be a someone that's at a church, or you don't have to have a ministry per se to be used by God. You can be used by God on your job. You can be used by God in your family, in your friendships. Anybody that you find yourself pouring into and you're constantly giving advice to, you're opening your mouth to do something, to do a good work, right? This takes a lot of our time. It takes our attention. It can be a distraction. And sometimes God wants to speak to us too in a different way. He doesn't want to speak to us through a Facebook post. He doesn't want to speak to us through, you know, a meme or something we saw or a video we watched or a sermon we listened to, but he really wants you to be still. And the word of God says in Psalm 40:10, it says, be still and know that I am God. And sometimes we think that being still means that we have to, you know, completely just stay in place and shut everything out, when that may not always be the case. Sometimes God wants us to be still to hear his voice, while everything is still moving around us. He wants us to hear his voice. So the Lord gave me a few things that hit my spirit. He said, I want you to see me in your silence. I want you to see me in a new way in your silence. And I want to ask everybody that's listening today, have you taken the time to actually be silent to hear God in a new way? You know, and sometimes we just have to just not say anything. Sometimes we have to turn off the phone. Sometimes we have to tell that friend, hey, I'm gonna take this weekend to myself, or even tell some of our family members, hey, I'm going to take some time to myself because I really want to get into a silent place. I really want to dwell in his presence. We talk about Psalm 91 and the Lord covering us, and that's like my protection prayer, right? Everybody runs to Psalm 91 when they want protection. But it literally says that for those who dwell in my secret place, you know. And the reality is, are you really dwelling? Are you really dwelling in that secret place in order for him to protect you the way that he said that he's going to protect you, in order for him to speak to you the way that he wants to speak to you? Because in order to dwell in a place, you have to, at some point, you got to be kind of quiet, you got to be kind of silent or still to receive what's going on. You know, and I really have to put this into perspective because I really found myself dwelling in silence these past couple of days because God wanted to reveal so much to me, and what it brought to my attention even more is that there were times in the past where I would cry to God and say, God, I need you to save me in this particular situation. I need you to come and take me out of this pit that I'm in. Lord, I'm ready for a breakthrough. I'm ready to see changes in my finances. I'm ready to see changes in my friendships, my relationships. Lord, I'm ready to see changes in my family. And I'm praying all these prayers. And one of the things God, I always tell people is, when God promises you something, he's going to give it to you. However, he may not tell you how he's going to do it. He may not tell you how he's going to do it, but just know he's going to do it. But one thing that has really stood out to me even more in my time of silence most recently is that God may not tell you how before he saves you, but he'll tell you how after he saved you. He'll tell you how after he saved you. He literally says, I saved you first, then I show you after. Why? Because it's in, he doesn't want you to interfere with how he's trying to save you. He doesn't want you to interfere with where he's trying to take you. He doesn't want you to interfere with his plan. So he doesn't tell you how in the midst of it. So yes, you're praying those protection prayers. You're praying and you're at his feet. You're on your face. You're praying daily. And you're like, God, I want you to save me. And he says, yes, I'm going to save you. Just have faith. Trust in me. I want you to dwell in this secret place, this dwelling of mine, because I'm going to protect you from every fiery dart that comes your way, whether it be during the day or at night. And you're like, how? We all want to know how. We all want to know why. We want to know the specific, you know, way and how God is going to do things. And that's why sometimes we're leaning on a prophecy. We're leaning on a word from the pastor. We're leaning on a word from someone because we really want to know how God is going to do it. But he doesn't always tell us how, because if he tells us how, we're going to get in the way. If he tells us how, we're going to get in the way. But one thing about God is to make sure that he confirms that he was the one that did it, to make sure that he gets all the glory and everything it is that he has done in your life. He's going to take you back after he saves you. And God had to remind me after this moment of silence, he showed me where he literally saved me a couple of months ago from something, and here I am now. And I knew I got saved, but I didn't know how I was getting saved, and I didn't know when. Now I know I'm saved for real, because he showed me what he destroyed. He showed me the detour that I was about to go on, but he said, no, I didn't want you to go through that door, but you went this way, and this is why. And now I'm able to look back and say, thank you, God. I'm saying thank you for the people that he sent into my life to stop me from going in a certain direction. And one of the things I talk about all the time concerning covenant relationships and even friendships is that when someone comes into your life, whether it be a friendship, particularly a friendship, I'll say in this sense, if a friend comes into your life, they come into your life to ship you somewhere. A friend comes to ship you. That's what a friendship is. And when we think about shipment, we're thinking about coming from one place to the next. And this doesn't just revolve around physical things. However, physical things is important because God is a miraculous God, and He'll provide in every way, right? But you can also be shipped mentally. You can be shipped spiritually. You can be shipped emotionally, financially. However, it is that God sees it fit for you in that season to be prospered, right? He'll send someone into your life divinely to connect with you and basically take you from that place that you're in to the next place. And sometimes we don't understand how we're going to get out of the pit. You know, we don't understand how we're going to go from the pit to the palace, but there's someone involved in that process. There's someone involved in that process. And sometimes, I want to let you know this today, friend, that sometimes that person doesn't always look like they're our friend. They don't always look like they were sent to help us, you know, because sometimes when you end up in a pit, you're like, well, you just threw me in the pit. And I honestly like to believe that everyone that God sends into my life is a friend, even if it's a friend for a season or a friend for a lifetime. You literally came into my life to do something. And when you think about the story of Joseph and how he was thrown into that pit and how that whole scene, the whole murder scene was set up by his own brothers, I would like to think that those people, they were still acting as friends to him because they shipped him somewhere in a season in his life, even though they weren't friendly, because God used them. God used them in a moment because he knew that because Joseph has opened his mouth and said what he said prematurely, or maybe it wasn't premature. We really won't know if Joseph was supposed to tell them his dream or not, but we know what the consequences were of that, and it took him from one place to the next, right? So we're going to have people come into our lives, and they're going to do things, and this is why we can't get offended by the acts of man, because when men do something, God is going to use everything, according to Romans 28:8, everything that the enemy or that set out for evil It's going to be made for our good. It's going to be used for our good, you know, for those who trust in the Lord and have faith in him. So when you think about Joseph and how he was attacked by his own people and how negative that looks, and we think about who we call enemies, we think about people coming into our lives and doing things to us that we don't think is friendly. What if I was to tell you on today that those people were sent as friends for a particular reason in your life to sharpen you a certain way? Because, yes, maybe you needed that backstabbing. Maybe you needed that person to lie to you. Maybe you needed that person to nitpick something about you because God wanted to sharpen you in such a way that you become better than what you were before. So when I met with people who come to contend and challenge me, I no longer get offended. I no longer respond in such a way where I'm saying, well, God, This is a hater. Now I'm hating a person. No. We need to really change our perspective and how we look at relationships and what God brings into our life. Because if someone comes into my life and they come to challenge me, my first question to God is, okay, what do you want to show me here? And I immediately get quiet because I want God to show me what he's trying to teach me from that person. Because it may be patience. You know, you might have an issue with somebody at your job or someone in your family that continues to annoy you, but God may be trying to sharpen you in patience, in grace. You know, some of us can use a little bit more grace. We can use a little bit more of giving more grace to people and having more mercy and granting more clemency to people who come to irritate us. And that's a plan of God. So he sends people into your life divinely along this way, along this journey to destiny where we're all trying to get. He sends these people into your life to sharpen you in such a way that you've never been sharpened before. And sometimes that sharpening is going to hurt. Sometimes it's going to look like that's the enemy. Because remember, the Lord sent the enemy to also test Job. But there was a sharpening there, right? There was a sharpening taking place in Job's faith as he lost everything. Can you handle the sharpening through the shipment? So you have these friends and you have people coming into your life to ship you from one place to the next. And God is saying, I'm not going to tell you exactly how it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. But just know that once it's done, you're going to look back and you're going to say, you know what? He saved me and now he's showing me. He saved me and now he's showing me why he sent Sister Rebecca to say X, Y, Z to me. He's sharpening me and he's explaining to me now why I had to deal with this type of child, you know, why I had to raise this type of child, or why I went through this in my marriage, or why I went through this at the job. The Lord is literally trying to have you look back and see how he saved you from certain things, and he sharpened you through the saving. And I think it's so important that we continue to have a perspective where we're not offended by everything that people do, but we really start to say, okay, why is this person doing this to me, and what can I learn? How can I react differently as a how can I respond differently as opposed to reacting based off of my emotions? Because we get emotional, right? Because I'm not going to lie, I was frustrated when I lost my voice. I didn't understand what was going on because I'm like, God, I have XYZ coming up. I can't afford to lose my voice. You know, I can't afford to do this right now. I have a recording coming up at the end of the month. I can't afford to not have my voice right now. I have assignments. But God had to show me that I needed you to be in a moment of silence because I wanted to show you what I saved you from. I wanted to show you what I saved you from so that you can now tell people why it's important to be silent. Why is it important to be silent? Because you see me in your silence. And if we talk about hearing God the book of John, John 10:27, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And the only way that we can know him, this scripture is basically saying the only way that we can know him and him know us and us follow him is by hearing his voice. And sometimes hearing his voice has to change. It has to change in the way that we do that. So I found myself saying, okay, I need to be silent. So I really want to take you back to that, the first question I asked. Have you positioned yourself to be silent in this season to hear him, to even look back and look at your relationships, look at the friendships and the people that you encounter every day, some of the harder ones, some of the frustrating relationships that you may have in your life, or some of the hardest relationships that you've had to deal with or face in the past? Have you taken a moment of silence to ask God, what is it that you wanted me to learn from that? Because I promise you, if you ask God that question, he will literally start to reveal and unravel to you what it is that person was sent in your life for. He will start to unravel to you why your mom is the mom that she is. Why did you have that mom? Why did that parent abandon you? Why were you rejected by this person? The Lord will start to unravel these things in before you so that you can grow, so that you can come to terms with it. Because a lot of us won't face those relationships that challenge us. We won't face those things that we bury. Those relationships and those encounters and those things that we bury from our families, from our friends, everything. And God wants to have you in a moment of silence to show you your relationships full throttle. Like, what's going on? What can I take from this encounter? What can I take from this breakup? What did I learn? Because we know that the enemy wants us to repeat. He wants us to repeat cycles over and over and over and over. He wants us to repeat cycles over and over and over. And the only way that we can break cycles sometimes is by recognizing what it is that we are supposed to learn in the first place. And the only way we can recognize is by hearing God's voice and allowing him to reveal it to us. And so I was met with this challenge today, and I said, thank you, God. I said, thank you. I'm actually thanking God for losing my voice. You know, it's such great glory if you can go through some of the hardest things and some of the people that you've dealt with done the most hardest things to you, and you look back and you say, thank you. Thank you for doing that. And this is a part of forgiveness too, is you get to look back. Part of the saving and him showing you how he saved you, your perspective changes, and you look at the person who came to do you harm. You look at the situation that harmed you, and you start to say thank you. You automatically forgive. Because if we ignore how we were saved, if we ignore the precious gems of what we were supposed to learn in that bad breakup, that bad argument, or that covenant that didn't end well, if we don't acknowledge how we were saved by that, and we don't find the good in that, we will probably end up walking around with a bitter heart, stony hearts. Will probably end up walking around with unforgiveness in our hearts and not even know it. And sometimes God has to show us what he saved us from and why he saved us and how he saved us in order to help us heal and help us heal in forgiveness. And forgiveness, because now I can look back and say, God, I see how you saved me from that person, but I needed that. I needed to learn how to steward my time better. I needed to learn that I needed to guard my heart better in this next season. So now I no longer have an offense towards the person you used in the process. I now have a heart where I can forgive. I can forgive what hurt me. I can forgive what I thought damaged me in the moment because it was so painful. I can forgive that person. I can forgive my mother. I can forgive my father. I can forgive these people that I thought came to harm me because now you're showing me how you saved me, Lord. In my silence, I can see now. I can see you. I can hear your voice clearly. And I think, I truly believe that Joseph had this moment. I truly believe he had this moment as he went to the palace and he gained so much rulership over so much. I believe that at the point of seeing his family and recognizing his brothers during this time of famine, that he recognized, Lord, you saved me. You saved me from the famine, and you positioned me and put me in a place where I can bless people now. I can look back. These are the same people who threw me in a pit, Lord, but no, you know what? I'm going to bless. I'm going to bless. I'm going to bless them because I no longer remember the pain. I no longer remember what it felt like because I'm not going off of emotions right now. Now I'm going off of your voice. I'm going off of what you've shown me at this point. Because there was a moment of silence there, I believe Joseph went through. There was a moment of silence because he wasn't in connection with his family. So that silence right there, and it gave him time to think. It gave him time to think about his legacy, his family, everything. And he can look back now and see how the Lord saved him, how God saved him, right? So it's the same thing. We're literally replaying a lot of these stories and plots in the Bible where there was a saving, and God will show you how he saved you in your silence, when you meet him in your dwelling place, in his dwelling place, when you meet him in that secret place. He meets you there, but he says, I'm going to save you. But I need you to understand that there's going to come a time I'm going to have you look back in silence, because I want you to look back at these relationships, these same people who you call haters, these same people who you call, that you said came to hurt you, these same people that you might have anger towards. I want you to remember this moment, because I'm going to save you from it. I'm going to save you from the pain. I'm going to allow you to heal. I'm going to allow you to prosper. I'm going to allow you to continue to move forward and go to the next place. But I need you to understand that one day I'm going to have you look back, and I'm going to show you how I saved you from that place. And I want you to remember that it's not them. It's not them, but that I was sharpening you in the process. And so that when you do speak about what you went through, you're not talking about the person, but you're talking about the process. You're talking about what it took for you to believe and trust in God that he was going to take you through it, and he got you through it. Because a lot of times when we give our testimony, a secular testimony is saying he said, she said, she did, he did. And we focus on all these pronouns, and we focus on all these people who did us wrong, the way they did us wrong, and it becomes a testimony that's about getting one up over my haters. But really, that's not what it's about. It's really about the glory of God and how he took you through it, and what you learned through it, and you being thankful that, you know what, I'm glad that I went through that, because I can now stand before whoever I stand before, and I pour into them and let them know this is what I went through, and because I went through this, I'm able to pour in you, and I'm a greater person because of it. I'm a greater person because of it. Don't let your testimony turn into something where you're speaking of people, but God wants you to give your testimony with regards to his voice and his heart, and how he saved you and he showed you. If you don't remember anything from today, I want you to remember that God is saving you to show you, because when he does allow you to speak past the silence, he wants you to speak of his glory. He wants you to speak of forgiveness. He wants you to speak of all the great things that he's done in your life, and how he took you through it without blaming the people that were used in the process, without blaming the people that he sent into your life in order to do that. And I know we talk so much about the enemy and God preparing the table, in front of our enemies or amongst our enemies, but it's really not about the enemy. It's not about the enemy. It's really about us being able to know that God is going to prepare the table regardless. That's what he's basically saying in that scripture, is he's not really putting on a show for your enemies, but what he's letting you know is that because we are surrounded by the enemies and the forces around us that we are challenged with daily, he's still going to show up with a meal for you. He's still going to show up with a table prepared for you despite what's in your environment. That's what that scripture is about. It's not about us putting on a show for our enemies and fighting people and having all these haters watch us eat while they starve. No, it doesn't work like that. That's not what it's about. It's about God showing up with a meal for us and a table for us in the midst of whatever the enemy may have around us in our environment or what the enemy might throw at us. That's what that scripture is about. So I hope that this has blessed somebody today. I really, truly hope that if you have found yourself ripping and running and trying to steer your own ship concerning your relationship and where you're trying to get, I encourage you to slow down and really ask God, is this a time for me to get silent? Is this a time for me to fast and pray? Do I need to shut down social media for a little bit so that I can hear your voice differently, Lord? Do I need to shut my phone down at a certain time of the day so that I can hear from you differently, Lord, because sometimes he wants to speak to us differently. Like I said at the beginning of this call, is that he wants to speak to you differently, because sometimes the message is just that greater. You know, it can't get through a meme or a post or a Facebook status, but or through a prophecy, but he wants to literally let his spirit resonate with yours so that you hear him clearly in silence so that he can show you how he saved you. Woman of God, Kashima, you can come back on.
Oh, thank you for that word. Thank you for that word. It was so needed for myself, because I'm always running and doing something for people and forget who I need to be more focused on. I thank you for that. Father God, I ask you to give back what your daughter then gave out to this morning. Strengthen her, Lord, from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. Continue to reign and open the door for her, Lord, financially. Cover her, Lord, because the enemy is going to attack even more harder because she came and gave your word and not her word. I thank you for blessing her, Lord. I thank you for having her able to come on here and just tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Again, thank you so very much for coming on. If people don't understand that one-on-one time with God is very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
And he will silence you. You are absolutely right. He will definitely silence you to get your attention, because we be moving so fast.
Mm-hmm.
We be moving so fast and not paying attention to the signs that he's giving us. You know, I thank you for that. That was very needed this morning. Let the people know how to contact you if they want to hear your word, if they want to be a part of what you're doing, or just want you to come out and speak. Let them know how to contact you.
Yes, you can reach me. I'm on Facebook, The Friendship Enthusiast, or you can look me up, Samantha D. Liberal. That's liberal, like liberal party or liberal arts. Or you can simply follow me on all social media platforms at Pure Friendships with an S. That's at Pure Friendships, P-U-R-E, Friendships. And you can connect with me. Just send me a message or, you know, tell me you heard me on the, on the call or, you know, however, and I'll respond.
Again, thank you. I'm not going to have you use your voice too much. You know what I told you, so. Give you some rest up, because you have so much more to do. I'm so honored that we got a chance to meet at Pastor Jay's conference. I really am.
Yes,
because you went
straight
to work when you got there. And it was funny, because I told Prophetess Lisa, I said, go tell her to touch herself. She said, mm-mm. God said, you go tell. I said, I don't want to go over there. You know, some people now is open to hear something, you know, from another person. So she don't know. She said, you. I said, okay. And that's why I said, let me go and get on over here and be obedient. Because I don't want to get in trouble. And that's how I came over there with you guys. And y'all went to work immediately. And I love that. And I said, okay, see, heels came off, got on knees. That's per pointing to somebody, helping them to get where they need to get. Everybody don't do that. Everybody don't do it like that. You know, as they say, you know, the so-called Siddiqui Christians, Everybody don't do that.
Yeah.
And I thank you for that because you did. You are one of the ones that did take them shoes off and got on your knees. And that's when I seen the true worship in God in you. And I'm just telling you that for me. I can't speak on nobody
Amen.
But your team.
Glory.
That's when I see the true anointing in your life.
Amen.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Glory
I'm sorry
to God.
I cut you off.
No, I was just saying amen, glory to God, you know. It's a wonderful thing to show up in moments where you just don't know when God is going to use you, and that's why you just got to be positioned and ready, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And again, thank you so very much. You have a blessed, phenomenal day. You know, I'm a phone call, inbox, text away. If you need me, I don't know everything, but I know God. So we definitely on the same page with that.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, absolutely. Anytime, anytime. And when you do your next program or whatever, let me know so I can post it on Worldwide Gospel Connection so you can get some more people to come in and listen in. I'm definitely big
okay.
on support. So that's definitely big on support. So just let me know.
Okay, no problem. Thank you so much.
Okay, no problem. We're
okay.
going to go to a quick commercial break, and you guys are listening to the Worldwide Gospel Connection. It is Women's Day Thursday.
Come on, put your hands together. I need to see some victorious people. Party happy, but I got away.
Hey family, I'm Pastor Torrey.
Pastor Sarah.
We just want to greet you before you get ready to watch this powerful message. We believe it's going to change your life. We've been praying for you. And we also want you to partner with us in changing the lives of others. As you know, we're invested a lot into technology so that we can continue to bring the word to you in innovative and creative ways. But we don't just stop there. We also believe in blessing people in a more pragmatic way.
That's right. You're about to watch this video that is going to tremendously bless you. But what you don't get to see is how we're blessing people off of the pulpit. There are families that are being fed. There are women who are being saved from human trafficking. There are so many organizations that we are able to support thanks to your generosity. So we want to invite you to be a part of changing the world with us.
Yeah, we've been very intentional in this season to partner with organizations and support them financially that are making a difference considering our crisis. So we just thank you. They're giving instructions on the screen here. Partner with us, and let's get into this word.
I'm going to be speaking out of Colossians 3. I've got one scripture that I want to start with, but I have a few other scriptures that I'm going to be pulling from as I build out this thought, so be patient with me. So I'm going to be Colossians 3, simply verse 2. This isn't an unfamiliar text, but it's one that God has really been dealing with me about, and hopefully it's going to add some wisdom and depth to your journey and walk right now. Verse 2 begins, it says, "Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Father God, you have given me clear instructions. For days now, you've been uttering this word to me. And so, Father, I just pray that you would allow this word to come forth exactly as you need it to come forth. That you would use every part of me, Father, to deliver this word, and that you would leave nothing on the table. Father, open our hearts, open our minds, remove our excuses and distractions that we may feast from this word and become better as a result of it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, I've been thinking, and the subject for this message, for those of you who like to take notes, is to make up your mind, make up your mind, which actually sounds a little bit easier than it actually is. I think one of the greatest challenges that anyone in a relationship or friendship experiences is that question about, like, what do you want to eat? Like, why is that one of the greatest challenges in a relationship? Sure, there are all of these other finances and character and integrity, but one consistent, whether you're in a healthy relationship or in a toxic relationship, one of the recurring issues is being indecisive over what you want to eat. And I am guilty of having this problem. My husband always asks me, what do you want to eat? And I'm like, I don't care. But the thing is, I do care. I want to eat fat food. He wants to eat healthy food. And I don't want to be penalized for my choices, so I say nothing at all. And then I sit there and I eat the kale with the olive oil and the lemonade, lemon dressing, and I just suffer because I was too afraid to say what was actually on my mind, this notion of making up your mind. I think sometimes we don't like to deal with the consequences that come with making up our mind. As I was studying for this message, I kept hearing over and over again that we are in this season of being established. And when God is establishing us, there are some decisions that we have to make, but sometimes we're hesitant to make those decisions because we don't want to deal with the consequences. I know I should set my mind on this thing. I know I should set my mind on that thing, but what happens if my friendships fall off? What happens if I'm not sure how I'm going to be able to connect in those groups and categories and industries anymore? And so we don't set our minds at all, not recognizing that even our indecisiveness is a mental state. Us being indecisive is setting our mind. In James, it says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. It doesn't say that a double-minded man cannot build. It just means that whatever that double-minded man builds is unstable. So what if even in our indecisiveness, we think we aren't building, but we are actually building something. It's just something that isn't stable. And when God kept telling me that we were going to be talking about establishing in this season, what he was saying to me is that I'm bringing my people into a season where I want them to be stable. I want them to be solid. I want them to be established. And so we cannot be established unless we're willing to confront the areas in our life where we are unstable. I used to live in this planned community in Texas when I was a single mother, and I just had this dream of home ownership, and I saved, and I pinched, and my dream was to live in this, like, planned community of tract homes where, you know, your kids could walk to the school bus, and they were friends with the neighbors, and I finally got this house. And I can remember that when I finally got the house that there was a lot across the street that was empty. And I used to think to myself, oh, my goodness, it's going to be so hard living beside all of this construction, and it's going to be so noisy. What I didn't realize, though, was how quickly they build those homes. They build them so fast that the noise isn't actually even that bad because they just spring up so rapidly. But there is this season where they don't just build every single day because they lay the foundation. And when you lay the foundation of a home, you don't lay the foundation and then build on it the next day. Because if you build on the foundation before it's ready, you run the risk of cracking the foundation. And if the foundation is cracked, then anything you build on that house runs the risk of being ruined. There are so many of us who look at the houses and the lives that we see that have been built, and we think to ourselves, I want a house like that. But the reality is, what we really need to be asking is, I wonder if there's any cracks in those foundations. I wonder what had to happen in order for that house to stand as tall as it's standing. I look at some of my mentors in the faith, and we're going through this pandemic, and I call him my spiritual grandfather, and I checked on him because, you know, he's got a church, and they're a little, compared to us, I guess you'd call it a little bit old school, but it's a Holy Ghost sanctified church, and I text him to ask him how things were going with the pandemic and having to do things virtual. And he says, honey, we're just adjusting because they have so much foundation that they don't let these things come and just shake them. And I just feel that prophetically for you. You're watching this video and you've been shaken, and there's nothing wrong with being shaken. But there comes a moment when God says, I'm showing you where you're being shaken, not so that I can scare you and not so that you are, not so that you will no longer build, but rather so that you can understand where the cracks are, so that when you build the next time, I feel that for somebody, I don't know who you are, you got a little bit shaken up and you realize that there was a crack in your foundation, and instead of fixing the crack in your foundation, you decided instead that I won't build on it at all. And I hear God saying that he revealed the crack in your foundation so that you would come to a place where you realize that that crack was exposed so that it could be fixed, addressed, and I could build again. I feel that for somebody, it's building season. I feel the Spirit of God on that, like something I've never felt before, that God is establishing new leadership. He's establishing new trailblazers. He's establishing new ways of being in your family, new ways of being in your community. And you think the fact that you have a crack in your foundation has disqualified you. And I hear God saying, the only way I can build you up to the next dimension is if I expose to you where the cracks in your foundation are. You see, God isn't like these master builders who starts off with a blank canvas. When God gets ready to build you up, he has to take inventory of what you brought to him. When you come to God, you already have paradigms built. When you come to God, you already have ideologies. When you come to God, you already have a perspective on who you are. And I hear God saying that when you came to me, there were some cracks in your foundation. And in order for me to build you up into who I've called you to be, not who your mother called you to be, not who your sister called you to be, not who your church called you to be, not who your community called you to be, but I want to build you up into what I saw. And so you have to be willing to let God demolish what you have built if it means that you can become who God has called you to be. I hear that song playing in my head now. I want to be where you are. At what point do you say, I am so desperate to be where you are that even if you demolish everything I've built, if you've demolished my dream, if you demolish my idea of what what my life should look like, but it means that I get to be with you. God, you can tear it down. God, you can tear down anything in me that doesn't look like what you're trying to build in me. I'm not in love with any job. I'm not in love with any career. I'm not in love with any dream more than I am in love with being where you are, because I recognize there is provision when I am where you are. There is protection when I am where you are, and there has to come this desperation down on the inside of us where we say to ourselves, Father, I want you to help me look at the foundation that has produced who I am. Our mind is the foundation of who we are. As a man thinketh, so is he. That is the foundation that we build our lives on. I can tell what you think about yourself based on the relationships you're in. I can tell what you think about yourself based on the thoughts that come out of your mouth, by the way you communicate with other people, by the way you handle other people's heart. It says to me how you communicate with yourself and how you handle your heart, because as a man thinketh. That's why the internet is really such an interesting place, because you get to see people's thoughts, and you're thinking that they're attacking you. They're not attacking you. Attack is the way that they speak. Attack is the way that they communicate with themselves. The thoughts that you receive are a reflection of the thoughts that are down on the inside of them. As a man thinketh, so is he. And so when God gets ready to transform us, he starts with our mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind already has a shape. Your mind already has a rhythm. And God says, if I'm going to renew you, you have to be willing to lay down your mind. Lay down your way of doing things. Lay down your way of functioning so that we can determine what's worth sticking. Because when God looks at you, God doesn't just look at what you want him to see. God doesn't even look at where you are. All God sees is what he created. I feel the presence of God on that. Somebody needs to know that when you look at you, you see all of the things you did wrong. You see all of the things that you could have done better. And you end up stuck because you can't see beyond what happened to you and what you did and who violated you and who hurt you and who you hurt and who you need to forgive. And so you don't move because you can't see past that. But what you need to know is that when God looks at you, he only sees what he saw. I'm going to prove it to you. In Isaiah, it says, Isaiah 43, I think it is, verse 20. 25, they're going to put it on the screen for me. It says, I, even I, this is God speaking to the prophet. He says, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. God says, when I look at you, I blot it out of my mind, because I cannot allow for what I have seen when I formed you in your mother's womb to be diluted by the sins that you have made. God says, I can forgive you, and I can help you to grow, and I can help you to become better. And the reason why I can do that is because I only see you at your highest potential. I got to say that the way it's hitting in my spirit, because I want you to understand that the reason God has called you, the reason why God is using you, the reason why God positions you has nothing to do with what you have gone through. It has nothing to do with even what you see when you look in the mirror, and it has everything to do with what he saw when he formed you in your mother's womb. I hear God saying, I only see good when I look at you. I only see perfection when I look at you. I only see you at your highest potential when I look at you. God says, I only see what I created. And it breaks my heart when you have missteps, and it breaks my heart when you mess up. Not because I don't believe better, but because I know you're better than that. You're better than the way you're acting. You're better than the way you're thinking. He gets upset with depression. He gets upset with anxiety. He gets upset when you're hurt. Not because he feels like it devalues you, because he knows you're better than that. And so God says, I'm going to give you power to rise to what I see. I'm going to give you authority to rise to what I see. I'm going to give you vision so you will be hungry for what I see. There comes a point in your life when you have an encounter with God where you start to get curious about what it is that God sees. God, how could you keep using me? How could you keep favoring me? How could you keep positioning me? And God says, you're wondering how, but it's all I ever saw. I saw that when you were a little boy. I saw that when you were a little girl. I saw that when they walked away from you. I saw that when they turned their back on you. You wanted them and I wanted you, because I knew what I placed down on the inside of you. And when you come to a place where you make up your mind that I am who God says I am, I can do what God says I can do. My past is behind me. My future is ahead of me. And I want to figure out what it is that he knew. God, what is it that you see when you look at me? And I set my mind on that. That's where I have to live. And it doesn't mean that I don't get off track. And it doesn't mean that I don't have moments when I slip up. But I have to know where I set my mind. So that when I get lost, I can remember where home is. So that when I get frustrated, I can remember where home is. There's a place that God carved out for me. And this place that he carved out for me, this world doesn't even understand it. But I've made a decision to be who that person is. And so we set our mind on things above, recognizing that when we do that, that God reveals to us what he placed down on the inside of us. When Paul is speaking to the church in Colossians in these letters, they're coming to a point where they are being established as a church. Now, this is important because when we think about being established as a church, especially when we're in Pentecost week, sometimes our modern and Western way of thinking allows us to believe that being established as a church means that we need a building fund. This isn't what Paul is talking about. Paul is talking about establishing the mindset of you being the hands and feet of God. Establishing a mindset that means that even if I'm not in a building, I recognize that I am a part of the church. I am a part of what God is doing in the earth. I am a part of a kingdom that started in heaven and touches down to the earth. Its expansion expands down into the earth. And so Paul is trying to get these people ready to understand this new calling, this new identity that he has called them into. And I feel like this is so important for someone because you're stepping into this new dimension of who God has called you to be. You're stepping into this new authority. You're stepping into this new level of leadership where you have to be willing to set your mind. The days of you being indecisive and not knowing which way you should go and what you should believe and what you should think, I hear God saying that's coming to an end because in order for me to build you in this next season, you need to be established. And if you're going to be established, then you have to be willing to set your mind. And so Paul says, I'm calling you out from amongst the world that you know so that you can understand the new world that you are engaging in.
Hey, family, I'm Pastor Torrey.
Pastor Sarah.
Well. The whole common scripture is Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. All God wants is that yes. That's it. Surrender to him. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. It is not. But it's going to be worth it. I'll give you three keys. One, find your Bible, King James or NIV. Two, find your church home. Wherever you go in physically, please mask up, be safe, sanitize your hands. Or you definitely can join us at the Abba House on Facebook Sundays at 10:30. And Bible study at 7:15 on Tuesday. Well, Apostle and I are there to encourage, inspire, and uplift you. Three, make sure the man or woman of God that you're under is not only preaching the word, but they are living the word. This is very critical for you since you surrender your life to Christ. One, get your Bible. Two, find your church home. And three, make sure the man or woman of God, what they're preaching line up with their walk. This is a must. Remember, we still have blessed all. If you need it, you can inbox us at Worldwide Gospel Connections on Facebook, or you can email us at worldgospelconnection@gmail.com. Remember, God doesn't care about what you did last night nor this morning. He still loves you. Surrender to him. Stand on his word. Read your Bible. You have to start with a scripture a day. Do that. And trust God. You guys have a blessed and phenomenal day, and talk to you soon.